This is Radio Superior 1953, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the evening Gather Round show.
Hey, come on in, gather around, campers. Tim Michaels here, lighting the campfire. It's Thursday, June 18th, 1953. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news and the latest on the Rosenberg's choice of seating tomorrow night.
That's a bad joke that I hope no one gets.
Ashland joins the Air Force Grand Observer Corps on the lookout for Russian jets overhead. And the Foxhole Gang is in to talk about Dad's Day coming up Sunday. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Bodine's Fishery and the Apostle Island Cruises. You got it, Lou.
The government asks the Supreme Court to allow them to execute the atomic spies. And Ike clarifies his book-burning comments. We begin our world roundup from Washington.
This is D.C. Hightower here. The United States government wants Adam spies Julius and Ethel Rosenberg executed for their crimes. That was the clear message sent to the high court in arguments today by Attorney General Herbert Brownell. He wants the justices to overturn the stay of execution. That stay was issued yesterday by Justice William O. Douglas, who contended that it needed to be determined if the Atomic Energy Act of 1946 supersedes the Espionage Act, and if trial judge Irving Kaufman had authority to convict the Rosenbergs by using the Espionage Act of 1917. Attorneys representing themselves as friends of the death row couple got the stay when they argued Judge Kaufman could not sentence the pair to death. Their argument, the Atomic Energy Act of 1946 doesn't have a death penalty and should be used instead of the Espionage Act. Mr. Brownell also asked for immediate action, even though Chief Justice Fred Vinson adjourned the Supreme Court this week until October in D.C. This is John Hightower.
This is Arthur Everett, New York. There are 27 cells in the death house at Sing Sing Prison, and three of them are in a wing reserved for women. Into one of these cells on April 11, 1951, vanished Ethel Rosenberg, a tiny mother of two sons. She is now 37 years old, and she was the first woman spy Sing Sing had ever seen. Mrs. Rosenberg, her husband Julius, and their friend Morton Sobel had been convicted the previous March 29th on charges of conspiring in time of war to hand over America's atomic secrets to Russia. The orators of the left proclaimed the Rosenbergs were condemned to die because they were communist sympathizers and Jews. Many groups are stepping forward to refute the suggestion of anti-Semitism, among them Jewish war veterans. Not all of the protests were communist-inspired, however. Many sincere people took issue not so much with the verdict as with the unprecedented death sentence, unheard of in America. Albert Einstein is among those who urged clemency upon the White House. Late in 1952, Pope Pius XII intervened on behalf of the condemned couple. On January 2, 1953, Judge Irving Kaufman denied clemency with these words, "They chose martyrdom, and to keep their lips sealed, their crime was worse than murder," unquote. On January 9th, 5 days before the scheduled execution, a stay was granted so the Rosenbergs could appeal to the White House for clemency. President Truman failed to act on the plea and left office January 20th. Then on February 11th, President Eisenhower refused clemency, saying he was satisfied the Rosenbergs had been accorded their full measure of justice. A new execution date was set for Thursday night, June 18th, and by a grim coincidence, it fell upon the 14th wedding anniversary of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. On June 3rd, the Rosenbergs claimed Attorney General Herbert Brownell sent an emissary to Sing Sing to offer a deal, mercy if they confessed and named names. Again, insisting they were innocent, the condemned couple vowed there would be no confession. Summing up the case, Columbia University's Alan Nevins says of the Rosenbergs, "From a historical viewpoint, this is a case that will be long remembered." In New York, this is Arthur Everett.
This is Washington, Jack Bell reporting. The Air Force revolt against the Eisenhower administration's defense budget poses the question, will Congress put its trust in the civilians at the Pentagon or in the military to determine what size combat forces are needed for the nation? Congress, in fact, will be choosing between the security estimates made by President Eisenhower and his civilian aides and those under the Truman regime. Air Force Chief of Staff General Hoyt Vandenberg is fighting for expansion of the Air Force to the 143-wing goal set 2 years ago. He argues this is the rock-bottom force which the Joint Chiefs of Staff decided was needed to assure security in the war with Russia. A wing contains 30 to 75 planes, depending on their type and mission. Secretary of Defense Charles Wilson, with Eisenhower's support, has fixed an interim goal of 120 wings. The Eisenhower budget trimmed about $5 billion from the $16.8 billion Air Force budget approved by Truman. This is Jack Bell in Washington.
Drew Pearson here with the Washington merry-go-round. Inside the White House, Soviet Premier Gorgay Malenkov has sent a private message to President Eisenhower urging a four-power conference immediately. This Russian move is obviously aimed at bringing the big four together before the big three can meet. However, the president is going through with the Bermuda meeting first. The president has other recreation besides golf and bridge, mainly playing the mouth organ, reading cowboy stories, watching TV, and running the White House elevator. Letting his hair down at an off-the-record luncheon, House Democratic leader Sam Rayburn lit into Mr. Eisenhower, but praised Senator Taft in airing his private views on the GOP leadership. Quote, President Eisenhower was born in my district. He was a fine baby, but when he became a Republican, it was his undoing, wisecracked Rayburn. The ex-speaker let it be known that he had a different opinion of the ailing Senator Taft. Quote, a tragic thing happened when Bob Taft had to give up the majority leadership, because whether you agree with him or not, he is an honest man and dependable. With the Washington merry-go-round, this is Drew Pearson.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. Democratic Senator Henry Scoop Jackson of Washington says President Eisenhower ought to clarify his stand that the State Department has his permission to burn books containing communist propaganda. Eisenhower made the statement at a news conference yesterday and, when asked, declined to say whether his jibe at book burners in a speech at Dartmouth College Sunday was aimed at Senator Joseph McCarthy, a fellow Republican from Wisconsin. Eisenhower's reply is that he never deals in personalities. McCarthy said after the news conference, quote, I think he has given a commendable clarification of the Dartmouth speech, which apparently has been misunderstood by many newsmen, unquote. The president's denunciation of book burners had been interpreted widely as aimed at McCarthy's successful fight to remove from U.S. overseas libraries what the senator contends are 30,000 communist books by some 200 authors. Jackson says he intends to write to Secretary of State John Foster Dulles at once, demanding he make public a list of books banned from U.S. libraries abroad. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
From New Delhi, the Nehru government is restricting the number of Indians that visit the Iron Curtain countries. The announcement drew criticism from the Indian Communist Party. But a spokesman for the Prime Minister Nehru says they don't want people to go out and learn the techniques of sabotaging the government. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:10. Tim Michaels has this message from Bodine Fisheries and Apostle Island Cruises.
If you like fresh fish, Bodine Fisheries has what you're looking for. Bodine Fisheries in Ashland, opposite the post office, they've got fresh walleye pike, 49 cents. Strictly fresh lake trout, 69 cents. Smoked whitefish, 59 cents. Fresh whitefish, 49 cents. And smoked lake trout, 69 cents. That's Bodine Fisheries, right across from the post office. That's in Ashland, Wisconsin. And by the way, if you're looking for a fun boat trip, why not take the tour-famed Apostle Islands 60-mile trip? That's right, it's on an all-steel boat, the Apostle Islands, leaving 10:15 a.m. daily, except Sundays or holidays. Bring the group. Parties are requested. Make reservations right or phone Bayfield 21. Remember, they're the Booth Fishery Corporation in Bayfield, Wisconsin. Lulu, back to you.
Escaped convict Lloyd Russell has fled into Wisconsin. The FBI has entered the manhunt. The 31-year-old Russell is the last of seven convicts who broke out of the Marquette prison May the 22nd. Six other fugitives have been captured and returned to prison. The search for Russell is the longest manhunt in Michigan history. Gitche-Gumee Boy Scouts at Camp Fidelity this summer will be more comfortable than last year because of new equipment. It includes a new JetKill mosquito control machine, which ensures a mosquito-less area. Other equipment includes two canoes, two aluminum boats, a half-ton pickup truck, and a 5-horsepower outboard motor. The canoes were donated by Miss Elizabeth Congdon of Duluth and Brule and the Ashland Automotive Dealers, the aluminum craft by the Russell Creamery Company and Gordon Connor of Wakefield, Michigan, the truck by Larson Chevrolet of Superior, the outboard engine by the Hagland Boat Company of Superior, and gasoline by the Standard Oil Dealers of Superior. Cal Miller making the arrangements. Camp begins next Sunday. They'll emphasize basic water skill activities. Special instruction will be given in rowing, canoeing, and swimming merit badges. And finally, good listeners, Picasso's reputation for money-mindedness is well-founded indeed. To a friend who asked the noted painter why he didn't hang one of his works in his own house, he replied, "A Picasso is worth at least $3,000, and I simply cannot afford one."
I wonder how much he'd charge if he painted my house.
My guess, he'd paint windows where there aren't windows, and the foundation would be on the top of the house.
Lou Martin, newsman extraordinaire. Well, the forecast for this Thursday, June 18th, 1953, clearing skies tonight with a low of 53, sunny tomorrow and a high of 75. Let's start the things off with Mr. Arthur Godfrey and the Two Fat Polka on the Tim Michaels Gather Round Show.
Here's a silly ditty, you can sing it right away. Now here is what you say, so sing it while you may. Here's a silly jingle, you can sing it night or noon. Here's the words, that's all you need, 'cause I just sang the tune. Oh, I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat for me, she's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat, she's too fat, she's too fat for me. I get dizzy, I get numbo when I'm dancing with my jum jum jumbo. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat for me, she's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her, she's too fat for me. She's too fat, she's too fat, she's too fat for me.
Can she prance up a hill?
No, 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 no.
Can she dance a quadrille?
No, 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 no.
Does she fit in your coop?
By herself, she's a group.
Could she possibly sit upon your knee?
No, no, no.
We don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me.
And she's too fat for me.
But she's just right for me.
We don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me.
Yeah, she's too fat, much too fat.
But she's just right for me. She's so charming, and she's so winning.
She's a twosome, she's a foursome. If she'd lose some, I would like her more. Some, I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. She's too fat for me. I don't want her, you can have her. She's too fat for me. She's too fat, much too fat. She's too fat for me. Hey!
Hey! Star of radio and TV, Arthur Godfrey and the Two Fat Polka on KUWS. Arthur, as Jack McKenna would call him, just had his hip operated on. It was shattered in a car crash back in 1931. Talk about procrastination. Going west, young man or woman, Northern Pacific Railroad has some deals for you. Choose all-room Pullmans or a comfortable reclining coach seat at no extra charge. Enjoy delicious dinners on the way. Just $58 round trip to Spokane, $68 to Seattle and Portland, and $90 round trip to California. Phone General Agent Elmer Hart at the Superior Union Depot Building at 7602. Hey, here's a favorite of mine from Bobby Helms and My Special Angel on the Tim Michaels Gather Round Show.
Angel, angel, oh, oh, oh.
You are my plane. I feel your touch, your warm embrace, and I in heaven again. You are my special angel through eternity. I'll have my special angel here to watch over me.
A smile from your lips brings the summer sunshine. The tears from your eyes bring the rain.
I feel your touch, your warm embrace, and I in heaven again. You are my special angel through eternity. I'll have my special angel here to watch over me.
Bobby Helms and my special angel on KUWS.
Now we have a special message from Douglas County Civil Defense Assistant Associate Vice Chairman Colonel Joe Raffaele.
Man, I tell you, his title keeps getting longer every time he's on.
I hate that title. Makes me sound like I'm an assistant to an assistant's assistant.
Like my sister's husband's brother-in-law's second cousin.
Yeah. Well, I've been here, 5 seconds, and already my brain is starting to hurt.
I need more coffee.
McMartin? You need a lot of things, but I don't think coffee's going to help. Now listen up, people. This is important. Ashland's got gawk.
Boy, and it's not even the flu and cold season.
Gawk, Barney Pad's gawk. That stands for Ground Observation Corps. And this week, Ashland became a full-fledged member of the nation's air defense team by going gawk. More power to Ashland for leading the way. City manager Mr. Harlow Richardson appointed a good, loyal American to head up GOOP. Mr. E.W. Sibbald. That's with 2 B's and 1 D. Anyhow, Sibbald needs about 150 volunteers immediately to man posts around the Shawamigan Bay area. There's no time to lose with those shifty Ruskies.
What's the hurry?
Well, I'll tell you what the hurry is. They're losing their grip, that's what I tell you. Then they'll get even more desperate than they already are. Let's face it, it's been a bad year. A bad year. They lost Uncle Joe in March. They're getting nowhere in Korea. And that puppet pinko government in East Berlin is crumbling. Next thing you know, they're flying bombers over the North Pole in Canada, and that's where GORK comes in.
GORK.
That's what I said. Volunteers will report any aircraft movement from their observation posts along Lake Superior to the Filter Center in Minneapolis. That's where they filter these sightings. Get it? Now, anyway, Ben, this Filter Center decides when to report the GORK sightings to the Air Force for fighter interception. It is essential to our safety and security in these days of atomic bombing possibilities by the Ruskies.
And what are the qualifications?
Any man or woman, regardless of age, can join.
I've seen flying discs over Lake Superior several times.
Except for you, McMuttonhead. People with overactive imaginations, please do not sign up. Others show up at Ashland City Hall at 8 p.m. on Monday. An official Air Force team from Minneapolis will be present.
Thank you, Colonel Joseph Raffaele.
Civil Defense Vice Co-Chair something.
This is pretty neato. Volunteers get official GOTH identification cards, and following training get silver lapel wings. Neat stuff. And you get to stop the commies, too.
The Foxhole Gang is in next.
Foxhole Gang? Sounds like my kind of people. Devil dogs and doughboys from the Great War. I'm sticking around.
Oh, joy. That makes for more magic moments with Perry Como on the Gather Round Show.
Sharing. I'll never forget the moment we kissed and let her behave right. The way that we hugged to try to keep warm while taking a sleigh ride.
Magic. Telephone call that tied up the line for hours and hours. The Saturday dance, I got up the nerve to send you some flowers. Magic.
The time that the floor fell out of my car when I put the clutch down.
The penny arcade, the games that we played, the fun and the prizes.
The Halloween hop when everyone came in funny disguises.
Magic.
Perry Como and Magic Moments on KUWS. Boy, that's a tune that'll stick in your head all day.
Now the gentleman who civilly solves world problems.
Civilly solves? These guys wearing skirts or something?
There's nothing effeminate about civil discussion. We're veterans of both world wars, you know. In fact, I myself go back a little further than that to the Spanish-American War.
Hey, aren't you the annoying guy who's always trying to sell me a house or a cabin or something?
George G. Newton of the George G. Newton Realty at your service.
Funny how these interviews kind of take on a life of their own.
Absolutely hilarious.
George is still in real estate, but look what he's doing now.
It's the hottest thing going. Right here in the newspaper.
Let me see here. Let's see. What do we got in the newspaper? Annie, why don't we go out to the Gaiety Tavern this weekend? The Gay Trio is playing on Saturday and Sunday night. And TV is on the rest of the time. Martin. This is really weirdo stuff, O'Newton. Even for you.
By golly, what's he reading?
He's reading the personals. I've always read the personals.
No, Colonel. Here. Right here.
Dear Lassie, please come home. All is forgiven.
Below that.
Lassie, please come home is in the personals.
Driving to Fairbanks, Alaska, June 24th. Have room for two more. Dial 9433.
Up one.
Make up your mind. You can get a complete outdoor UHF VHF antenna for just $29.95 when you buy your new RCA Victor TV. You're installing antennas, nut job?
TV's the thing. I'm selling some nice RCA Victors. Real beauts.
This is the world's problem solved civilly. I thought you'd be weighing the pros and cons of the pending execution of the Rosenbergs.
That's a travesty.
It's justice. They gave the secrets of the bomb to the Soviet spies. It's justice.
Amen to that, brother.
But the Soviets were our allies at one time. World War II was just ending. How is that treason?
Who's this pinko here? Sounds like a long hair.
Remember, civilly solved. Civilly solved means no name-calling.
Both Truman and Eisenhower refused clemency.
Clemency's what? Clemency's for sissy.
He got three civil words in before name-calling that time.
Music time.
Hey, music time. Here's the Mills Brothers and Glowworm on the Evening Gather Round Show.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Lead us lest too far we wander. Love sweet voices calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path below above and lead us on to love. Turn on the AC and the DC. This night could use a little brightening. Light up, you little old bug of lightning. When you gotta glow, you gotta glow. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Glow, little glowworm, glow and glimmer. Swim through the sea of night, little swimmer. Thou aeronautical boevo. Illuminate yon woods primeval. See how the shadows deep and darken. You and your chicks should get to sparking. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight neon. You got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took the shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glow and glow.
The Mills Brothers and their 1952 hit Glowworm on KUWS.
Look, guys, if I may, the Foxhole Gang did come here for a reason.
An important reason.
Executing commie spies is important.
But that's not why we came.
We came for dear old Papa.
Father.
Dad.
Dad. The old man?
Daddy-o.
This is important with Father's Day coming up Sunday.
That's just the thing. This special day makes Dad feel kind of sheepish.
Well, yeah. I mean, see, they're not sure they like a day in their honor.
Or at least they pretend not to like it.
Or they're uncomfortable. You bet your life on that.
Nah, who wouldn't? It's your day and the kids are sandbagging you with weird gifts you thought you dodged at Christmas, like socks and ties and gizmos. Or worse yet, you have to take the whole brood out for dinner and pick up the check.
Well, that's part of it, Colonel. But that's just part. But the fact is, Father is not used to being a hero in our civilization, even for a day. That's different from motherhood. I mean, moms are a symbol of lonely heroism in any day and age.
Nah, Ma's a saint.
Dear old Mom.
Mother.
But we should revere dear old Papa. I mean, we should build a statue to him. It would be of a tired, patient old bull, the wrinkles of his muscle duty showing on his fly-bitten shoulders, as he bent his horns down to protect his mate and his brood against the wolves of life and time.
Dad would whoop me a good one in the seat of my pants if I gave him a flea-bitten bull on Father's Day.
Well, I've never been a father, but my old man was, and a good one, too. I appreciated him before his death 15 years ago, but I never really told him so, although I think he knew.
He knew, George. He knew.
The Colonel's eyes are welling up.
They are not.
Here's a hanky.
Thanks, Martin.
No, even so, I've always regretted I didn't say more to my dad. You know, I say this only for the sons whose fathers are still alive, to whom they can still say thank you.
Along with sending them that necktie.
Or comfortable slippers.
I especially like the puffy kind.
There must be millions of Americans who on this upcoming Father's Day will recall warmly the dad who isn't there to praise. So I give you this flower of remembrance I'm going to plant on my own Papa's grave this Sunday. Life may not have given you what you wanted, but you're not forgotten after all these years, not by those you created,
and stood by. If I were a dad, I'd only ask I might be as fine a one as you were.
Lovely, George. Lovely.
Well said.
And well blow, too, by Lou and the Colonel. Stay tuned for Mystery Theater and What's My Line. And, as always, we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, as long as the good Lord is willing. For the Foxhole Gang, Lou and the Colonel, this is Tim Michaels saying to all you dads, fathers, papas, and especially my old man, thanks.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1953, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, Tom Martinson, Al Katz, John Munson, Kent Vogel, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1953 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.